Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. My name is Dan Dimite, and I'm here with my good friend and brother in Christ, Patrick Rice.
Hello.
If this is your first time joining us, this show brings to you the amazing stories of people's encounter with Jesus Christ. Today, we're going to be hearing from a good friend of mine, Eddie Hickel, who had encountered Jesus Christ, and Jesus moved him from spiritual infancy into mature spiritual living. And that isn't that the goal, Patrick? Don't we all desire to be not spiritual children, but to be mature Christians?
Amen, to the full stature of Jesus Christ.
Amen. So why don't you open us today, Patrick, with prayer?
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I just want to start with a scripture here. This is John chapter 5, verses 19. Jesus answered and said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, a son cannot do anything on his own, but only what he sees his father doing. For what he does, his son does also." Father, in the name of Jesus, that you showed us through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, that the only way to be a father, to be mature, is to first be a son. That Jesus, he did everything that he saw you doing. He spoke everything he saw you speaking, Lord. Father, I pray that we would have an intimate relationship with you through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, that we would come to hear your voice and repeat that to others, that we would see what you want us to do, and we would do that, that we would not ask you to bless what we do, but we would do what you're already blessing. Father, we pray that we would come from a place not of striving, but of resting and receiving and releasing what we receive into the world. So come, Holy Spirit, and have your way with us.
Lord, we pray that you would take away from us a spirit of complacency, that you would give us a spirit of fire, a spirit of passion and zeal for the kingdom of God. We pray, Lord, that you would make us mature Christians, that it would no longer be us that lives, but you who lives within us. Lord, we pray that your presence would live within us, that we would speak your words, we would think your thoughts, we'd be driven by your passions. We pray for an anointing over our minds, over our hearts, over our desires, over our emotions, over our words, and over our actions. Come, Holy Spirit, anoint us and make us an image of Jesus Christ. We pray this in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Excellent. So today we want to look at spiritual immaturity versus spiritual maturity. And, you know, Patrick, when I think about that phrase, it immediately draws me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where St. Paul says, "When I was a child, I used to think as a child, I used to talk as a child, and I used to reason as a child. But when I became a man, I put aside childish things," right? And we want to put away childish things. And it's possible that I could be a 30-year-old man and still have a lot of childish things in my life. It's possible that I could be a 70-year-old woman who goes to daily mass and prays the rosary every day and yet still have a childish, not a childlike, but a childish, immature faith. And that's what we want to talk about today. What does a mature faith look like versus a childish faith? How can we put aside our childish things? And I have a lot of children. Patrick and I both have 4 children. And Patrick, you're expecting your 5th, aren't
Number
you?
Number 5.
That's crazy. So he's 31 years old. He has 5 children, people. That's nuts. Our houses are crazy. My kids aren't like, I go to church and I see all these people with nice, calm children who like just sit and look at books the whole time. My kids are like throwing like each other through the pews and stuff. It's like World War III every time I go to mass. And I look at the childishness of my kids. Like my 3-year-old, she has an inability to sit still. Like I'll try to like hold her still and like her body starts twitching. Like, right? But she's 3, so it
she
makes
cast
sense.
Cast out the demons.
Yeah.
Man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. My demonic 3-year-old, of course. My 5-year-old, he has like total lack of control over his emotions. So he'll be like super happy one moment and then in like a rage of fury the next moment, and then like crying with sorrow like 2 seconds later. Like, but he's 5, so
yeah, God's gonna use
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he hasn't figured out control of his emotions. And my 7-year-old, right? She's got this like she's a 7-year-old girl, and she talks like she's a 14-year-old. Like, she's got so much sass already. I'm like, where did that come from? But their children. And of course, I know that virtue is still being worked out in their lives. Mm-hmm. But how often do we see adults who still don't have control over their emotions, right? Or who still don't have control over their tongues, or who still have this spiritual childishness to them? And that's, I think, what the St. Paul's getting at. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child. I would think like a child. I would reason like a child. But when I became a man, I set aside my childish ways. That the Holy Spirit had brought about a spiritual maturity in St. Paul, and he calls us to a spiritual maturity in the way that we speak, and the way that we think, and the way that we reason, and the thoughts that go on in our minds, the words that come out of our mouth, the emotions that we exhibit, that we're called to a deeper spiritual maturity. And so St. Paul's suggesting that it's actually possible for us to have a childish spiritual life, that we can go to Mass and we can do all the Catholic things, but the Spirit, if he hasn't permeated our whole being, we're still just a childish spiritual being, not a mature being, right? That Pope Benedict, he said that being Christian is not the result of an ethical choice or a lofty idea, but the encounter with an event, a person, the person of Jesus Christ, which gives us a new horizon and a decisive direction. Mm. And so when we have an encounter with Jesus Christ, when we have an encounter with the person of the Holy Spirit, we have a new horizon in our life, a new way of thinking, a new way of speaking, a new way of reasoning, that our life literally takes a dramatic turn. And that's why, like in Scripture, when you hear the word repent, it's a Greek word metanoia, right? That we are called to turn away from one way of life and turn to a new way of life. That once we encounter the person of the Spirit, once we encounter Jesus Christ, we turn into a whole new way of life. And that's, I think, what St. Paul's saying in the Ephesians. He talks about this spiritual maturity when he speaks to the Ephesians. He says, "But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift, until we all attain to the unity of faith and knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the extent of the full stature of Christ, so that we may no longer be infants tossed by waves and swept along by every wind of teaching arising from human trickery, from their cunning and their interest or deceitful scheming." And I think of how many people's minds have been tricked by culture to think that the things of this world will give them lasting joy, or tricked into relativism to think that we can pick and choose truth for ourselves as opposed to discovering truth according to the Church.
Yeah, one of the scriptures that just most speaks to me about exactly what you're talking about is Romans 12, verse 2. "Do not conform yourself to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and pleasing and perfect." And you talked about repentance, that metanoia. You know, another sense of that metanoia is actually, it's literally just to change your mind about something. Mm. That when I repent, I just change my mind. I take how, you know, where my thoughts, my ideas have been for me, and I conform them to God's mind. That I'm transformed by the renewal of my mind. And I think that in the spiritual immaturity, I see a lot of, what you would call prolonged adolescence. And there's a lot of, studies out there about, you know, how marriage is getting delayed, about how money is being spent by millennials. And it's very much this me mission mentality. We see, adults addicted to video games. We see grown men and women who are just pouring money into bigger cars, bigger vacations, bigger trips. And it's like, where does it stop? And I think when I look at this in my own life, you know, I'm 31 now and I have five kids, but I'm only there because at one point I had to make a decision. And when I was in college, I met my wife, Emily. She, you know, we were dating. And I remember there was this moment where it was like, it went from like fun, having a good time, to like, whoa, what is the point of all this? Am I going to move forward into God's plan for maturity? Like, am I going to move forward to marriage where I actually die to myself, right? I don't live for myself. I die to myself and then I rise with Jesus. And so, like, marriage has such a countercultural message, Dan, where it's like, it's not about you, it's about the other person. It's about the cross. And I had, like, I was so tempted to just, like, try and put it off. I was so tempted to. But every time I prayed, God kept telling me, like, no, you need to move forward. And then every time it was, I'm about to move forward, a fear would come up, like, well, you know, I'm a college student. How am I going to provide? You know, I can't provide for me now. I have to wait till everything's established, till everything's in place. Maybe when I'm like 28, 29, I'll be, you know, I'll have a house, I'll have that job. So I really realized for myself that it was about trusting in the Father to provide, as Jesus trusted in the Father to provide. And when that happens, like, we're able to move forward when we trust in the Father.
You're listening to Encounter, a St. Gabriel Radio production. I'm here with Patrick Rice. And we're talking about spiritual maturity versus childish faith, right? And that's different than childlike faith. But childishness has kind of permeated our society. Like you were saying, Patrick, you used the phrase prolonged adolescence. There's this temptation in our culture to remain like kids, right? That grown adults are acting like children, where they're evading responsibilities. They're pushing aside commitments, right? There's a spirit in our culture right now that really just, oh, I don't want to commit to anything, right? That we're starting to see commitment as a bad thing. And it really is rooted in what you're speaking of, selfishness, that we, instead of choosing to live a life for others, we want to live a life for ourselves. And then if you think about spiritual immaturity, you could think of a spiritual life that is totally selfish based, right? That I want emotions given to me by the Lord for my own sake. I want to feel good about myself. And so that's why I perform these spiritual acts, as opposed to having a total other focused and Christ focused spiritual life. I think that what does Christ want to accomplish in us to have a deeper spiritual maturity? You know, St. Paul, he spoke of, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I set aside childish things. And I think we need to understand that St. Paul's speaking about our words, right? That our words should have more maturity to them, that we should speak grace. Scripture speaks of only allow the words that are edifying to others come out of your mouth. We're talking about relationships, right? How do I think and interact with other people? How are my emotions? Are my emotions held and tempered by self-control? Am I spiritually mature in my emotions? How are my finances or my leisure, my entertainment? Are these things that are tempered by my faith? And does my faith and my life with Christ, does his will motivate and control my finances or my leisure, right? In all things, we want to seek the full stature of Christ. And so how would Christ deal with his finances? How would Christ deal with relationships and entertainment and leisure? How would Christ go about child rearing? We need this renewal of the mind that Patrick talked about. Patrick, this scripture verse of placing ourselves from the childishness to the mature, I think St. Paul wants to call us even deeper than we are now. If you don't know, Patrick is a lover of the Holy Spirit. And Patrick, can you break this scripture verse open to us a little bit more to understand what Paul may be saying about the charisms of the Holy Spirit?
Yeah, for sure. Like, this is from 1 Corinthians 13. And Paul, in 1 Corinthians 12, he's just gone through all of the spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit wants to give us so we can minister like Christ. And then in chapter 13, he basically says this. I'm going to share a few verses. In verse 1, he says, if I speak in human and angelic tongues, but I do not have love, I am a resounding gong or a clashing cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and comprehend all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have faith so as to move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And so, like basically, St. Paul is saying that, like, you know, he's moved on from, like, what I would call a natural spiritual life, a natural ministry where we can minister, like, according to our own human abilities, right? I think, like, in the church, there's many Catholics that have this mindset where we go to Mass every week, we do our devotions, our rosaries, and all those things are good, but if they stay there, they're not progressing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
And so, like, what we're being called into here in the scripture is to minister like Jesus did, we need to have a, like Jesus ministered supernaturally. Mm. He ministered in ways that only the Father could empower through the Holy Spirit. That actually, I love it that at the Matthew chapter 3, in the baptism of the Jordan, Jesus gets baptized by John, and the heavens open up, and the Holy Spirit comes upon Jesus, and that voice says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." That Jesus, at that point, he didn't do any miracles. He didn't do anything, but the Father still said, "You're my beloved Son. I'm happy for you." It's like he gave Jesus an A+ on his report card before he even took a test, right? He loved him for who he was, and he empowered him. He gave him the Holy Spirit, that Jesus, through that empowerment, he was able to minister, and he went forth preaching with boldness, and that all of his words being confirmed with miracles, signs, and wonders. And like Jesus wants to give us the same thing through the Holy Spirit. And so Paul's talking about how he's moving with the gift of tongues, with the gift of prophecy, with the gift of knowledge, and that from that, like, power comes forth, right? And even in my own life, like, I've been in ministry for almost 10 years now. And at the beginning, it was very much like a human work. It was, what can I do of my own power? And with our own power, Dan, we know we can do nothing, right? Mm. Without you, without me, you can do nothing, our Lord said. And like when I would, a big, you know, part of youth ministry is intercession and like praying for others, people praying with our teens. And I remember for the first few years, when people would come back for prayer ministry, it would just be like, I would hear whatever they wanted to pray about. And I would say, okay, I want you to have this. I pray for that. I pray for courage. I pray for counsel. I pray for this. But then at one point I'm like, Lord, I want to speak through you, right? I want that gift of prophecy where you tell me what you want others to speak. And then I started saying, Lord, what do you want to speak to the other person that I would receive from the Father? And then like Jesus, I would only say what I heard the Father saying in that prayer. And then when I pray with people, they would get hammered. They would get hit in the heart and they would have these powerful encounters. But like, it's not us. It's all about God. It's all about his love. And I think that's kind of what Paul's talking about, that to go deeper and minister like Jesus did, but that it doesn't point back to our abilities. It points back to love. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. So our hearts need to be rooted in love, love for the Father, love for the Son, and love for the Holy Spirit, and love for his people. I think this spiritual maturity that we're talking about, the key to this is a reliance on the Holy Spirit, that the person who is childish in their spiritual life is simply seeking to conform themselves to all the externals of the Catholic faith. And it's possible that I could do all of the externals perfectly well and yet not have had a powerful encounter with Jesus Christ. And I feel like there's a lot of people in the church who do the externals well, and they go to Mass on Sunday or they'll say their devotions, and yet their lives have not yet been radically transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit, so that it's no longer them that is living, but Christ that's living in them. It's no longer them that is performing the works of their lives, but the Spirit performing the works of the Spirit through them. Mm-hmm. And that's what we want to pray for today, right? That we want to pray that we would have the Spirit working through us, that our minds would be permeated by the gift of the Holy Spirit, that our minds would not just dwell in our own thoughts, but literally that the thoughts of God would be planted in our hearts. You spoke of the gift of prophecy, right? That this can be a natural thing that happens in our spiritual lives, where Jesus places his words in our mind and we're able to speak his words from our tongues. I think a lot of times when we think of prophets, we think that we have to predict the future, right? But the prophets are people who hear the word of God and they speak the word of God. And if you don't hear the word of God, then there's probably something in your life in which you're closed off to God, right? That if you go to prayer and you ask God for prayer and ask him to speak to you, you're not hearing his words. God wants to accomplish his words in your life. And so we need to ask him to break through so his Spirit can speak his words more fully in your life. So let's just pray for that real quick. I want to come, Holy Spirit. We pray that you would break through our lives and you would allow us to really powerfully encounter you. We pray that we would have an encounter that permeates our minds, that our minds would be driven by you, that you would transform our minds and our hearts to think like you, to speak like you, to be driven by you. We pray against any childishness that's in our life, any desire to set aside commitment and responsibility, any selfishness in our hearts. And we just pray, Lord, that we would be crucified like Jesus Christ. Our lives, our bodies, our minds, our hearts would be handed over to the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God would dwell within us richly and would take us over. Amen.
You're listening to Encounter Radio. We're going to a break now, but when we come back, we'll be joined by our guest, Eddie Hickel. Please stay tuned.
Welcome back to Encounter, a St. Gabriel production. I'm Dan Dimite, and I'm here with my good friend and brother in Christ, Patrick Rice. We're joined now by Eddie Hickel. He's a dynamic 21-year-old zealous warrior for the kingdom of God. Eddie, it's good to have you here.
It's good to be here.
Excellent. So Eddie just got done serving as a missionary with a program called Net Ministries, where he traveled around the country living out of a suitcase, evangelizing and spreading the gospel to middle school and high school age kids. So he'll tell us a little bit about that. But before you do, Eddie, could you tell us a little bit about your journey of moving from spiritual immaturity into a deeper spiritual maturity?
Yeah, definitely. So, growing up, I wasn't really too into my faith. Go to Mass on Sundays, kind of sit there picking my fingernails, not really caring about what was happening. My relationship with the Lord indicated, okay, I'm going to say a quick Hail Mary before I go to bed and ask Jesus about 50 questions in a row, then just leave because I wanted what I wanted and I wasn't about that life hearing what the Lord wanted of me. So just ask so many questions in a row and that would be my prayer life. So people are like, hey, how's your relationship? Oh, it's great. Well, it was great for what I thought it was great. And then I went to Catholic Youth Summer Camp for 5 years as a camper, and my junior year of high school, I was sitting in the midst of our Lord in adoration, and I was really struggling a lot that year with believing that Jesus is actually fully present in the Eucharist, and really thinking to myself, you know, if I don't believe Jesus, that you're present in the Eucharist right now, why should I want to be Catholic? Like, why am I going to go through the motions if you're not even real to me? Like, Jesus, if you want me to stay Catholic, you're going to have to do something bold and show me that you're real, or I'm just going to leave. And, in that moment, I heard this voice inside of me saying, you know, Eddie, look up. You know, as I look up, I see all my friends are like laying prostrate in front of the Eucharist, just like praying hardcore. And I'm thinking, this is really awkward because I'm the only one up right now and you guys are praying. Okay, I'm going to go back down to praying again. And I was thinking, that's so weird. I'm just going to pray more. And I was like begging the Lord really to just reveal himself to me in the Eucharist that night. And about 5 minutes later, I heard even louder, Eddie, look up. And And honestly, in that moment, I felt myself being lifted and my eyes just placed right on the Eucharist. And in that moment, I saw Jesus's face in the Eucharist. And it was, hands down, the most beautiful, glorious face that I have ever seen in my entire life. And he was smiling at me, and I was scratching my eyes. And I was like, is this real? And I was looking at him for 2 minutes and he was still staring at me, smiling. And I just lost it. And I just got so emotional and started crying and thinking to myself, you know, Lord, I never believed that you were real, but you just presented yourself to me. And as I looked back up at him, he was smiling. What made it more beautiful is that when I saw his face, he was wearing his crown of thorns, which really showed me, like, hey, you know, Eddie, it doesn't matter the stuff you did in the past. I don't care that you didn't believe in me. I still did all of this for you. I went up on the cross. I got scourged. I have this crown of thorns for you, and I love you no matter what you do. And that just really smacked me in the face, and Jesus was just like, yeah, I'm here. Like, I'm present in your life. This is not a piece of bread. Like, I am fully present right here in the Eucharist. And
it's beautiful. You know, earlier we were reflecting on 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and St. Paul says, when I was a child, I used to talk as a child, think as a child, reason as a child. But when I became a man, I put aside childish things. And then he continues and he says, at present, we see indistinctly as in a mirror, but then face to face. And I think, you know, when we have an encounter with Jesus, we can actually see him face to face now, right? That it's not always, I think sometimes we think, okay, I'll encounter Jesus when I'm in heaven, but he actually wants us to encounter him face to face right now. And that's exactly what I did, right? Just face to face.
Exactly.
And it was in the root of your hunger and your thirst, your begging Jesus to reveal himself, that I think that encounter came. Now, Eddie, when you encountered Jesus as a junior in high school, was the spiritual life easy after that?
No, it's actually kind of sad, because even though I still believe that Jesus was present in the Eucharist and went to Mass because I wanted to, my relationship with him didn't change. You know, I still just kind of treated it like, you know, running it, like things off, just asking a bunch of questions, like quick Hail Mary before I went to bed. And, you know, that was kind of pathetic of me looking back on my past. Like, Jesus showed himself to me in the presence of the Eucharist, yet I still, like, wasn't fully there. Like, I still didn't understand the importance of what it meant to have a spiritual life with him. I didn't understand the relationship with him. I mean, yeah, was it great to go to Mass and actually receive Jesus and actually fully know that it was him? Yeah, that was great. But was it great having that relationship? No, because I still didn't have that relationship. And so, yeah, it was still definitely a huge struggle, like, even after the Lord presented himself to me.
So what in your life kind of helped lead you to a deeper spiritual maturity?
So when I started to serve with NET, I got accepted and I got there. The next day, as I was there, we go through a 5-week training period, and they're like, all right, we're going to set aside 30 minutes for prayer. Go pray. And I was like, oh, okay, I don't really know what I'm doing. So I went back to my dorm room with my journal, because I figured that's a good place to start. And I basically started journaling about this girl that I liked. And I was like, Jesus, I love her. I'm going to marry her. It's going to be great, blah, blah. And that's all I could think about. And, you know, finishing, like, that would be my prayer. Like, Jesus, I love her. Like, I just talked to Jesus about that and just, like, close my journal 30 minutes later. Be like, all right, that was cool. And just kind of go in with that. And that was really just, like, not smart of me. And we go through 5 weeks of training, like I said, on NET. In 2 weeks, we're at this campsite in Wisconsin called Camp Wapagasset. It's on a Lake Wapagasset, also known to netters as Camp Wapo. And in this 2 weeks of training, I'm thinking to myself, okay, how much ministry can they actually teach us right now? Like, this is going to be so boring. Like, what's going to happen? Well, in that 2 week time, all the 2 weeks of training there at WAPO is all about having a relationship with the Lord, having a deep and meaningful relationship with him. And we would go through 4 talks a day, like understanding the Lord is God, the Father, God, the Son, God, the Holy Spirit. And we would do this thing called Prayer Lab in the morning, where NET would actually show you how to pray and what a meaningful relationship with the Lord would look like. So, for example, it'd be like, okay, you know what? We're going to open up. You're going to read the gospel. Okay. Then you're going to reflect on that, you know, like 5-10 minutes. If you want to journal down anything that stands out to you, do it. And when you do that, also just sit in the silence and see what the Lord has to say to you. Just sit in the silence and just listen to him. And then after like a couple minutes of that, then move into a time of intercession and prayer of thanksgiving. And then, you know, end it with consecrating your day to the Lord. And that honestly was just like bricks at my face, because I was thinking, wow, I journaled about girls or just quick runoff questions asking the Lord to make all this stuff happen in my life. And knowing that I was doing all of that wrong, it was incredible just like to see the difference that I thought, oh, okay, this is what a relationship with the Lord is, as opposed to, hey, this is what a meaningful relationship with me is like. And what was even more incredible is that when they're teaching us about this, they said, yeah, you know, you can know a lot of facts about Jesus, but that doesn't mean you know him. And I was thinking, wow, you know, I know Jesus rose from the dead. And I know that he turned like 5 loaves and 2 fish into 5,000. I know that he healed people who walked on water, but that doesn't mean that I know him. You know, and I kind of play it to like normal day life. People can be like, oh yeah, I know Tom Brady. And you're like, oh really? What do you know? I'm like, oh, well, he won Super Bowls. That's facts. Like, what do you know? He's greatest football player ever. No, that's facts. Like, in order to know someone, you actually have to sit in the silence and actually listen to what they want to say to you. And
it's not a fact that Tom Brady is the greatest football player in the world. Just FYI.
Let's start a debate on that right now.
I mean, he went, no. Okay. Anyway, so, but just like in general, thinking of that. So really, like, once that those 2 weeks were over at Camp Wapo and my relationship with the Lord just skyrocketed, like, I understood what they meant by, hey, loving him and giving everything you have to him. And it got to the point where I used to be excited, you know, seeing the people on my team every single day to, yeah, I was still excited to see them, but I was so excited to get up in the morning and actually pray to the Lord. Like, you think about it, if you have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, you're like, oh, I'm so excited to spend all day Saturday with my girlfriend. Oh, I'm so excited to spend Friday night with my boyfriend. Like, it's going to be great, blah, blah. And where you're like so excited to get butterflies when you hang out with your special someone. But then also, like, think about how exciting it is to hang out with Jesus. like that relationship with him, like a relationship with the Lord is the greatest relationship that you'll ever have in your entire life. And it's one of the greatest roller coaster rides ever. You're going to have ups, you're going to have downs. It's just like any other relationship, but knowing that, hey, the Lord wants this of you. And it's so incredible. I wake up every day like, yes, I'm so excited to like go to the Adoration Chapel right down the street from my house. Like, I'm so excited to go talk to Jesus now. And, you know, instead of making decisions on my own, like, hey, what do I want to do with my life? I'll do this. You know, actually understanding like, hey, why don't you do what Jesus wants of you? Why don't you see what he wants and see if you what you want is the exact same thing? And if it's not what you want, still do it because he's going to bring you true joy and true happiness in your life.
Eddie, you had mentioned how a lot of how spiritual maturity is found in the silence of prayer. Could you share with us a few lessons maybe you learned from the Lord in prayer where he called you out of some childishness in your own life to a deeper maturity?
You know, in my own life, and, you know, it's funny because all of my growing, the most growing that I've done in my entire life came from my 9 months on net, and I was 20 years old, so, which is incredible. The Lord works in such mysterious ways, no matter how old and young you are. But I remember one time just really in prayer asking the Lord, like, you know, I need to grow up, Jesus. Like, I can't be the center of attention all the time. I can't be this prideful, boastful person. I can't just bring attention to myself and doing stuff for the glory of me. Like, the Lord, like, what do you want of me right now, Jesus? Like, what is it that you want? And just kind of sitting there waiting for him to say something. And then all of a sudden, this Bible verse pops into my mind. And what is it? It's 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11, that said, when I was a child, I used to talk as a child, reason as a child, think as a child. But when I became a man, I put aside childish ways. And really the Lord just saying right then, like, this is your time to grow. Mm. Like, this is it. And I was like, well, I don't really know what type of prayers I should pray for this type of stuff. I mean, I guess I could just ask for the grace of maturity. And I was sitting there and I opened up one of my prayer books that Net gives us. And the first prayer that I opened up to was the Litany of Humility. So it's funny how the Lord works that way. And I saw that and I looked up at the Lord and I was like, all right, I take this is what you want of me. So, every single day from that day on in September, I just started reading that. And I was looking for Bible passages too, and really understanding that, you know, it's not I who lives, but it's Christ who lives in me, and just really dying to yourself and understanding that it's not you anymore. Like, you're living through, like, Jesus is living through you. It doesn't matter what you do. It matters what he does in you.
If you're just joining, you're listening to Encounter, a St. Gabriel Radio production. I'm here with Patrick Rice, and we're joined by Eddie Hickel, who's sharing the story of his own life and how he has encountered Jesus Christ and how Christ is continuously calling him and all of us to a deeper maturity in the Lord. I think that maturity is rooted in the virtue of humility, like you spoke, Eddie. That's a beautiful example of how the Lord wants us to pray for the gift of humility so that we can live the life that he has chosen us to live. Eddie, would you mind sharing with us a little bit about how you've helped other people encounter the Lord? Have you ever, as a missionary, when you were traveling, did you ever see any young people just have a powerful encounter with Jesus?
Yes, I actually have. One of the stories that really stands out to me is when we were in the Diocese of Oklahoma City in Oklahoma, I had a small group of senior guys, and senior guys can go either one of two ways. It could be the greatest small group ever because they're older and they could be mature, or it's the worst small group ever because they think they're too cool for school and they just don't want to talk to you. but my first small group, I mean, it started out pretty good. I had one really quiet guy in there, and I could really just sense from the Lord that this kid is going to have an incredible night, and I really didn't know what to think about that. I was like, all right, Jesus, well, let's see what you can do. And we go into a time of prayer ministry, and as a small group of leaders, we pray over each of our small group kids. And as I was praying over each of them, I got to him and I placed my hand on his shoulder, and he just started to cry. Like, he just lost it. And I was thinking to myself, wow, okay, Jesus, just keep doing what you're doing. I'm not going to ask you to make him calm down, because whatever his encounter with you is right now, this is what you need in his life. This is exactly what you need of him. And so I got done praying over all of them. Prayer time was over, and we go back into small group. And I was thinking to myself, going back into the small group, oh, this small group is going to be great. It's going to be glorious. I cannot wait. Like, people are going to share. It's going to be awesome. All the guys shared. It was great. And then I came to the one. I was like, how was your time in prayer? The one that was really emotional. And he just goes, it was good. And I was honestly just like shocked that he just told me that it was good. Like,
come on.
I was like, you just
help
were
me,
in there.
Jesus.
Like, I was like, I want to know more. Like, okay, but Chris, you can't pressure him. And I was like, so just good. And he's like, yeah. I was like, okay, that was fun. But it was still
I'm
like
going to pray over you again.
Yeah, seriously, I should have. But small group was over. We go back into the main room and the retreat. And as a net team, we do this thing called team prayer every day. It's an hour of praise and worship every day. And we're doing team prayer. And he was really on my heart that night. And it was about 10:30. And as we finished team prayer and I left the room, I was really thinking, you know what, Lord, I guess you really just didn't want me to talk to this kid or he would have talked. And as soon as I left the room, I see him sitting outside this adoration chapel at 11 o'clock at night. And right then I felt the Lord tell me, go talk to him right now. And I was like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And I go and I sit next to him. I was like, so how was your night? And he just looks at me and he just lets it all out. Like he just tells me, he's like, you know, I would have shared more, but my cousin was in my small group and our families aren't really on good terms right now. And I was just really scared to share. And, he moved here from Mexico 6 years ago, got bullied really badly. And I could really relate to that because in high school I was bullied pretty harshly. And he was just telling me all that. And he's like, but now it doesn't matter because the Lord just showed me how much he loves me. And it doesn't matter what I say, what I do. He still loves me so very much. And he said, you know what? Thank you for everything that you did for me tonight. Like you changed my life. And I stopped him right there. I said, dude, I didn't do anything for you. And he was like, what? And I was like, but the guy sitting inside that adoration chapel right now that's longing for you, he's the one that just performed a miracle in your heart. And he said, you're right. And he said, thank you, and got up and went to the adoration chapel. And he emailed me time from time after that retreat just telling me like how his relationship with the Lord is going, how much he was just in love with the faith still. And it was incredible.
Dude, that's so amazing. Thank you, Jesus, for breaking into that young man's life and leaving him changed. But Eddie, you said something that you didn't do anything, but Jesus did something for him. But, you know, St. Teresa of Avila, she said, Christ has no hands to minister but yours, no feet to walk the earth but yours, no mouth to speak his words but yours. So you became Christ to him. Mm. And it was like a tag team that as you were telling the story, it was like, Jesus in the Eucharist, Jesus and Eddie. Like, we can't get away from Jesus, so praise God for that.
Well, the funny thing, when Eddie was sharing his story, I was also thinking of St. Teresa of Avila because she spoke of a second conversion in her life. And I think sometimes we can think, oh, I've grown as mature as Jesus wants me to. But Teresa of Avila, she realized she was a religious sister for a number of years. And there was a moment where she encountered the Holy Spirit on a more profound and deeper way. And she realized that she was in the midst of a second conversion. So I've made that a prayer of mine recently. Lord, I want a renewed conversion. More. I don't want to be right here, right? I'm so grateful for everything you've accomplished in my life, but I want more,
Can we pray right now for that?
Heck yeah.
Holy Spirit, we pray that you come. Anyone that's hungry for more, who's hungry for more depth, more of your love. Holy Spirit, come through the radio waves, come through the body of Christ, Lord, and we pray that you break into hearts and you give a hunger, that everyone who's listening right now would pray, Lord, I want another conversion. Lord, I want to go deeper. Lord, I want more of your cross. I want to co-labor more with you. Help me to be like Eddie, Lord. Help me to be just like your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, Father. Come, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, this is the beauty of the Spirit of God, that he never is done, right? That and this is a journey that we have with our Lord, that this journey of spiritual maturity, that we can start with our encounter with Jesus Christ, but he always wants to call us deeper. And Eddie, you're how old?
21.
21 years old. So there's a lot of hope for the audience listening today. Mm-hmm. There is a young church who has encountered Jesus Christ, who is on fire and hungry to grow
Come
in the
on.
Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's happening all across the country. Eddie's not one. He is one of a million young people who are rising. The Spirit is rising up to renew the face of the church.
It's called the new springtime. Mm. It's prophetic, JP2. It's flowing right here in the studio. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And the cool thing is, this young church is rising up, that they were all called to grow in maturity. So it's not that I have finished growing, Patrick has finished growing, or Eddie has finished growing. We're all in this process where the Lord wants to accomplish something in us. And it's the Spirit of Christ who does that, who brings that maturity about. And I think, Eddie, one of the things that really struck me about your story was when you were in that small group praying with that young man, it was your prayer ministry that led to his encounter with Jesus Christ, not your words. And I think that can really take a load off of us as disciples, that whenever we're with someone and we don't really know what to do, let's not pray for them, but let's pray with them, right? That we need to stop being a church that simply prays for people, and we need to start being a church that prays with people.
Amen.
Right there in the moment, so that the Spirit of Christ can penetrate into the situation. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Excellent. Eddie, we just want to thank you so much for coming and being with us today. You're listening to Encounter, a St. Gabriel Radio production. I'm Dan Dimitay here with Patrick Rice. We've just heard the amazing story of Eddie Hickful. Please stay with us after this break. We'll be back. Welcome back to Encounter, a St. Gabriel Radio production. I'm Dan Dimitay, and I'm here with my brother in Christ, Patrick Rice. We just heard an amazing, life-changing encounter with the person of Jesus from Eddie Hickful. Eddie, we're so thankful for what God has accomplished in your life, and we pray that you'll continue to help others encounter Jesus Christ so that they live a life on mission as well. Patrick, can you share just any thoughts that you had from Eddie's story?
Yeah, Eddie's story reminds me of like the nation of Israel. Okay, and I know this might
well,
sound kind of
powerful.
Might sound
your life
crazy.
Reminds me of the nation
Wait,
of Israel.
Here's the thing: it started off his junior year with a supernatural encounter. Okay, he heard God's voice. Okay, the Israelites, their whole story out of Egypt was a supernatural encounter that led to their freedom. It was a series of encounters where God broke the power of the enemy and gave them the potential to be free, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight. So like that was the promise. The encounter led to a promise of sonship, a promise of being with God completely. But at the same time, they didn't get like mystically transported into the promised land. You know, they had to go through the desert. And I think we could call that the process. So that process of going through the desert is designed by God to build maturity. That, you know, when they were getting low on food, like, what did they do? They grumbled against the Lord, right? And so oftentimes, like, we have an encounter with God, but then we're not changed yet. And God brings us to a place where we need to rely on him. And he leads us through that. And so I think that that process, it builds nothing less than spiritual maturity. And maturity is simply relying on God completely. But the one thing that we can learn from the Israelites it only takes 40 days, right, to get through from Egypt to the promised land. But the Israelites, through their immaturity, they made it 40 years. And so, like, we don't want to be like the Israelites and make it 40 years. I thank God that Eddie's not 61 years old, right, sharing about, like, how he's, he's received that promised land of spiritual maturity. But, like, yeah. God wants to take us through that so we don't despise the process of spiritual maturity. We take one step at a time, and every time it's an encounter, right? Mm. An encounter with the manna in the desert, an encounter with the rock that brings forth water, to a place where we become like God. We become love, right? That we live out that greatest commandment, that it to love God with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, to love our neighbor as ourselves, because we've received his love. And once we've received that love, right, then we receive that and we're living out that greatest commandment because of who we are, we're able to go on the Great Commission, right, to make disciples of all nations. And Eddie went forth and he did that. He made disciples and led them out of Egypt, out of that spiritual Egypt, and then through that process of discipleship, right, and into the promised land. Mm. I mean, that's just what hit me.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
How about you?
Well, I love what you're saying about the process. I think a lot of times we can grow frustrated with others and their current process, right? How often are we frustrated with a family member, maybe a son or a daughter, who is not yet as spiritually mature as we want them to be? And that frustration, instead of it being used to pray for that person just kind of is used as an annoyance towards that person. And I think, you know, we should give the Lord glory for the process. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Like, that it's good that there's that mustard seed of faith in a person. And if they've got a mustard seed of faith, then you just keep praying into that and say, Lord, you've given them this mustard seed of faith. And I pray that you make that a massive forest, you know, a huge tree that's able to bear abundant fruit. If you're just joining us, this is Encounter, a St. Gabriel production. I'm Dan Demetane. I'm here with Patrick Rice, and we're talking about spiritual maturity. We started today's show with a scripture verse from 1 Corinthians 13, where St. Paul says, when I was a child, I used to talk as a child, think as a child, reason as a child. But when I became a man, I put aside childish things. I think St. Paul's using an analogy here to describe the natural spiritual life, or the natural plane, and the supernatural plane, that we can actually have a spiritual life that remains on the natural plane, where we just do natural acts of piety, right? Where we go to Mass because we're instructed to go to Mass. We pray rosaries, or we enter into time of prayer. But it remains on the natural plane, where I enter into scripture study and I think on my own accord, what is Jesus saying here? As opposed to a supernatural spiritual life where I dispose myself to the Holy Spirit and I ask the Spirit, Spirit of God, what are you speaking in these words of scripture that are alive and active? Spirit of God, what are you doing and accomplishing in my life here in the liturgy? Spirit of God, how can I expose myself to you at every moment? St. Paul's encouraging us not to have a natural childish spiritual life, but a mature supernatural spiritual life where we are disposed, where we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit, and we allow the Holy Spirit to start working through us in our minds, in our words, in our actions.
Yeah, and like St. Paul, like, you know, he was talking about those gifts of the Spirit, but he ends by saying, at present I know partially, then I shall know fully as I am fully known. So faith, hope, love remain, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Mm. That faith, hope, and love are supernatural. That, like, my faith in who Jesus is and what he can do through me gives me access to God's power. That my hope that these things are going to come, you know, through me is actually what, like, ignites that faith. And that my, like, the love is what gives it character. Love is what gives it that maturity. That it's not just me receiving these things, but it's actually, I'm, like, channeling God's love. And Dan, I was thinking, like, I think at some point when we see God to work in us, like, especially in ministry, a lot of us can be mature, Christians and Catholics, but, when we start to minister, there's like a spiritual maturity, immaturity that we can have in the sense that when we see good fruit coming, we think it's just from us and from our good things. You know, what do you think about that?
Yeah. Eddie shared about how the Lord led him to start praying the Litany of Humility, right? That, we need to allow the Spirit to work through us so that he gets all the glory.
Right.
And there's no question. I think what happens if we don't yield ourselves to the Spirit and we don't rely on the Holy Spirit, we can trick ourselves to think I'm the one accomplishing this work. But when we dispose ourselves, you know, Patrick, we've been doing youth ministry for a long time, and a lot of what we see in youth ministry, we don't see in adult ministry. And why is that? I think young people are more likely to trust that the Spirit is going to work in a powerful way. And adults often have kind of a seed of doubt. So what do I mean by that? Eddie, when he was sharing it, when he was a junior in high school, he went before the Blessed Sacrament and he said, Jesus, I need you to work now. Mm-hmm. I need you to prove yourself to me now. Mm-hmm. There, he opened the door for the Spirit to work. And what did Jesus do? He said, look up and see me. That the Spirit allowed the voice of the Lord to speak into Eddie's life. And then Eddie had this miracle of seeing Jesus's face. And a lot of times as adults, we can go and we can put these limitations of doubt on Jesus, right? Where we're like, well, if God wants to work, he will. As opposed to that hunger of a young person who says, Jesus, I want you to work right now.
Right now.
And I want to have that. I don't want to have childish faith, but I want to have childlike faith. And so I want to pray today that we would have childlike faith, that we would actually approach Jesus like a child and we would beg him to reveal to us the mysteries of our heart.
Yeah, and like, I mean, some of the things are happening in youth groups, and basically, Dan, it sounds like what you're saying is that we need to have old groups.
Adult groups. There's youth groups and then there's adult groups.
I'm the youth minister, I'm the old minister, right? No, but like, I challenge any pastor or church leader out there that is as frustrated as we are with this lack of faith in adults to like to beg the Lord to use you to come up with creative ways to bring that childlike faith to the adults in your parish. I mean, wouldn't that be amazing?
And it has to be a spirit-led prayer, that we can't just have intellectual houses of formation for adults. That's important and it's critical, but we also need true spiritual formation.
Yeah. How about like, could you start, instead of Catholic Youth Summer Camp, Catholic Old Summer Camp?
We're working on that. We're working on that. Yeah, we have lots of apostolates that the church is going to bring about here in the coming years, right?
Yeah.
So we want to pray with all of you in the crowd. We want to pray with childlike faith right now that we would encounter Jesus. I don't know where you are right now. You may be at work. You may be at home. You may be driving on the highway. Jesus wants to speak into your life. And there's something profound that when we ask the Lord to speak like Eddie did, he actually will speak. And so today, let's ask Jesus to speak a word of wisdom into our life. Maybe it's a word that we need, and I don't know what Jesus wants to speak, but I do know he desires to speak to his people. So we're going to pray, and then after that, we'll close with praying the Litany of Humility, because all true holiness comes from humility.
Amen.
So let's pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Heavenly Father, and you said through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, that anything we ask of the Father in your name will be given to us. Father, Dan and I, we come before you on the radio right now, confident in the power of your Holy Spirit. And Heavenly Father, I pray that right now, wherever our listeners are, that you would speak who you are right now into them. So I pray that you pause and you receive the Father's word for you right now. Father God, I thank you so much for speaking your word, your truth, that we are your beloved sons and daughters with whom you are well pleased. Father, I pray that you fill us with that spiritual maturity that recognizes that the main thing is that the main thing needs to be the main thing, that we are called to love you, to receive your love, and to love you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. So Lord, we place you as Lord above our jobs, above any other relationship, Lord, above all of our possessions, Lord. And we just, we place you at your service, Lord, that we're just a coin in your pocket. So spend us and use us as you will, Lord. And we pray that we would come to love ourselves as you love us, that we would love ourselves with that full heart, mind, soul, and strength, Lord. And that we would come to love other people as you love us and we love ourselves.
Come Holy Spirit, we're going to pray the Litany of Humility. Lord, we pray that you just give us this virtue and you awaken us to your power. O Jesus, meek and humble of heart,
hear me.
From the desire of being esteemed,
deliver me, O Jesus.
From the desire of being loved,
deliver me, O Jesus.
From the desire of being extolled,
deliver me, O Jesus.
From the desire of being honored,
deliver me, O Jesus.
From the desire of being praised,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being preferred to others,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being consulted,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being approved,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being despised,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of suffering rebukes,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being calumniated,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being forgotten,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being ridiculed,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being wronged,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being suspected,
deliver me, Jesus.
That others may be loved more than I,
Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it.
That others may be esteemed more than I,
Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it.
That in the opinion of the world, others may increase and I may decrease,
Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it.
That others may be chosen and I set aside,
Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it.
That others may be praised and I unnoticed,
Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it.
That others may be preferred to me in everything,
Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it.
That others may become holier than I, provided that I may become as holy as I should,
Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today for Encounter. We pray that the Lord continues to work powerfully in your life. My name is Dan Demite, and I was joined today with Patrick Rice. God bless you.